praise the Lord. First of all, I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm glad to be here in your midst. As you said, I have to introduce myself. Well, my name is James. I come from Zimbabwe, Africa. And I thank the Lord that He has called me into this faith and has had mercy on me to bring me out of the world of sin, to come to the knowledge of His Word, that I may worship Him. So I thank the Lord for bringing me up here to Singapore to be with you. When I left home, that was on the 23rd of July, the saints back home asked me to bring their greetings to you. Also, before I arrived here, I was in India, where I visited a few towns there to be with the brethren who are there. So wherever I went, them knowing that I would come up this way, they asked me also to bring their greetings to you. So I bring all these greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I thank the Lord also for His grace which He has, I believe, bestowed upon you to bring you to this wonderful truth of His Word. I believe you are not here, maybe just by chance, but this was foreknown of God. For we know before the foundation of the world, God had a purpose, and that purpose He has sent you, that He accomplishes it. And I want to thank God that you are here because the Lord God saw you here. Was it some 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to be born on this earth? The Lord showed the prophet Malachi that there would be a people who would be brought back to the faith of the fathers. And I'm glad tonight to be speaking to that group of people whom Malachi saw being turned to the perfect faith which was once delivered to the saints. I want to thank the Lord that God is so real that He desires to show forth His reality. You know, our God is not a myth. Our God is a living God. And we worship Him in the same. God is life. Now, I just want to share with you from the Word of God. And I hope you'll bear with me. Maybe I'll be most of the time referring to the scripture and reading from the Bible. I just want to read from the book of Genesis. I want to read the first chapter of Genesis. And I want to read from verse 11, and I'll read also verse 12. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. We'll read also verse 21 and 22. And God created great wells and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. I would also read verse 24 and 25. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Amen. Now I just want to share with you this thought. Be ye fruitful. As we have read from the book of Genesis, it says that when God created, in verse 1, it tells us how God created the heaven and the earth, and how that the earth was without form and void, and how that darkness filled or covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then we know how God separated the water from the dry ground, how God separated darkness from light. And he now spoke these words we find in verse 11. It says, God said, let the earth bring forth. Now, if you can notice, it is only in verse 12 where God said, when he saw the trees and the sea and the grasses and the herbs coming up, bringing fruits with seeds after their kind, that's when God said, this is good. And then God put his blessing upon his creation, because now the creation of God was manifesting his mind or his word. Because he wanted every tree to bring forth fruit. And then the fruit would have the seed inside it, and the continuity of all grasses and all trees was in the seed, which was to bring forth after the kind of the tree or the grass or the herb that God had commanded to grow. So God said, it is good. Only after the manifestation of the seed which was in the fruit had come up on the grass, the herb, and the tree. And then God created the animals, created the birds, created the fishes, and every time God created these things, he put his blessing upon them to multiply and be fruitful. Amen. And then, if we can go again to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Man and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now you see here again, God creates man in his own image, and still he brings that blessing that multiply and replenish the earth. So now God is interested in the fruit of the grass, in the fruit of the herb, in the fruit of the animal, and in the fruit of the man he created in his own image. So when God created all these things, as the grasses started to grow, and the trees started to grow, you know, some trees take long for them to bear fruit. But God had all the patience to wait until his word had been manifested. And when the trees started to grow, God never
Hani didn't say anything else. He just kept quiet to look if his word was coming to be what he had spoken. And when the things now were manifested, that's when God said, it is good. So God said it is good because his word had come to fruition. He had come to be manifested in what he had commanded to be. That's what God called good. So God does not call anything good just because it's coming up or it looks good. But God, when the fulfillment of his word has been manifested, then God can say, this is good. There are many things that we say they are good, and in the end we see they are not good. There are many friends we thought they were good, but in the end we broke ranks. Because we thought they were good. But God is not in no hurry. He just waits. And until the manifestation of his word has come to full being, that's when he can now say, this is good. So now God is interested in the manifestation of the life. Because every species, be it grass, herb, animal, bird, or fish, it is in the seed. Because they are going to bear after their kind. So God is interested in the realization or the manifestation of the life of the fish, of the grasses, and of the trees. When they are fruits now, then you are sure you are going to get another tree because the seed now is there. So the complement or the life for there to be life tomorrow, or for there to be hope tomorrow, there must be that seed. And God has seen to it that the seed is there to manifest life after it has been planted, after the kind of the tree that it came out of. So now, the point is now, God is interested in the fruit. That's why I just want to say now, to speak on this, be ye fruitful. For our acceptance before God is not after our singing, after our preaching, after our this, but after the fruit. Right. Until we bring forth fruit, God will just keep watching. Right. He will watch you until you bring forth that which was originally put in you. And the spoken word is the original sin. Right. Until that word is manifested, God cannot say it's good. Right. Amen. Now, we just want to see from the Bible how that when God called Abraham, he gave him a promise. And you can see that the promise that Abraham was given was, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you many children. That was the blessing of Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham. So Abraham, when he was called, he was given this promise of many children. So God desired out of one Abraham to be many children. As he did in Genesis 1, when he said, let the tree bring forth fruit, so that there may be many seeds. So when Abraham was called, he was given a promise of many children. So in short, God was telling Abraham, be fruitful. Now, let's just go to Genesis chapter 28. You see the fruit of Abraham. Genesis 28, verse 13. Verse 18. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here God was telling up Jacob, be fruitful. Because he says, the land that you are lying on, I'll give it to you. Now, it could have been given to Jacob, and it could have ended there. But God wanted the possession to continue. And it could not continue only in Jacob, but in his seed. So that's why God said, I'm going to bless you, and I'll give you many children. You are going to be blessed, and you are going to spread to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. Jacob in himself, he could not do that. But his seed after him could spread to all those places. So in short, God is telling Jacob, be fruitful. Now, so the promise was given to Abraham, and now here it is given to his son, Jacob, to be fruitful. So God is desiring, when he called Abraham, when he called Isaac, when he called Jacob, God is desiring that they may be fruitful, that he may see his word. Now God is stressing and is following the seed of his word, how it is continuing in Abraham, Isaac, and now it's in Jacob. God still has the same mind that he had when he called Abraham. He said, be fruitful. He told him, you are going to have children like the dust of the earth. He told him, you are going to have children like the stars of heaven. And he comes down again and he tells the same to Jacob. So God does not change his mind. And he does not change his purpose for calling his people. The same he told Abraham, he's telling Jacob, the son, be fruitful. Now, what does God want out of this? God wants the continuity. Can you see? God does not want one thing here, and tomorrow it will be another thing. Tomorrow it will be another thing. God wants the continuity of that which was in the beginning. So, for God to achieve that, it must come through the seed. The seed is the only thing that can carry the life that was in the beginning. You know, as you can look to a mango seed, you know, when you see a mango seed, in that seed, there is a tree, maybe 4 meters tall. In that, there are leaves. In that mango seed, there are roots. In that mango seed, there is maybe a ton of mangoes, but it will be just a seed. But God so programmed the seed that it will bring forth his mind. Because when God wanted a tree, he did not plant a tree, he planted a seed. To make sure that the continuity of that species cannot be disturbed. That's why God now comes and says, for the same which was in the beginning, for it not to be tampered with, there's only one way it can be done. This tree has got to be fruitful. It has got to bring forth seed after its kind. And when it comes to that, then God says, it is good. Can you see? Not only a tree coming up, but when the seed is manifested, then God says, this is good. Amen. Now, so, he tells here Jacob, I'm going to bless you. You are going to have children. So, God in short is telling Jacob, you are going to multiply. Now, let's go to the New Testament. In John chapter 15, John chapter 15, we'll just read maybe verse 1. We'll see where we can get to. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean, through the word which I have spoken unto you. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So here Jesus is saying the glory of the tree is not in its beauty, its color, its leaves, its trunk. But the glory of every tree is in the fruit. So he says, every branch that brings forth fruit, the Father, who is the husbandman, will purge that branch, will nourish that branch, will bless that branch. Because why? It is bringing forth that which was in the beginning. It's bringing forth the mind and expectation of God. So the glory of the tree is in the seed. Amen. Now, if you go to, as we have seen in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, these men, when God called them, he always pointed to them that they are going to be fruitful. And he blesses them, each and every one of them. If you can go back, it says that God blessed Abraham. Then God blessed Isaac. Then God blessed Jacob. He is always putting his blessing upon them, not for themselves, but for the seed that they will bring after them. You know, one day, God, when he was going to destroy Sodom, he came through where Abraham was. And after he had confirmed to Abraham that next year, this time, your wife Sarah shall have a son. And then when he started to go towards Sodom, God in himself said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do to Sodom, since he is going to instruct his household after him and bring righteousness? Can you see? So God said, I will not hide this from Abraham, not because of himself, but because God had seen that in Abraham there was the ability to teach and instruct his children in the word of God. So, the manifestation of the life of Abraham was going to be in his seed. That's why God says, now I will not hide from him. Can you see? That's how God deals with us. Because of what he purposed for us, because of what he intends us to be, that's why God brings his word. We were once all in sin, walking in the filthiness of this world. But because of what God saw in you, bringing forth the seed of his word, then he said, can I hide the mystery of this end time to you? Can you see? Why? Because God could see the manifestation of that word at the end. Now, that means all the true children of God will manifest the perfect desire of God in the beginning. You know, we shall see as we will be going through. That's why, you know, Israel missed the mark. When God gave them the temple worship, when God gave them everything, you know, they stuck to the law after the letter. And they could not achieve that righteousness. Why? Because they did not continue in the same spirit and life that the word was brought to them. They changed the track and they could not bring the fruit. Can you see? So Abraham was blessed. He was given the revelation of what God was going to do, as he did to us in this age, to give us the word. Not to play around the word, but to manifest the purpose of God. So, the glory of the tree is in the seed. Now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all called. And God blessed them and said, your seed shall cover, spread to the north, south, and like that. Now, let's see these fathers of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, if we can read from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundation, which builder and maker is God. Let us go to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. Now, the Bible says Abraham was called of God, and by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land. He was given the word of God. He was given the promise. And then, as in a strange land, he sojourned in the land of promise. The land was given to him, but he lived in that land as in a strange land. He did not get the land for himself, though God had given him the land. But it says that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And then the Bible says, they did not receive the promises, but having seen them afar, they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They saw the promises afar. Now, for instance, Abraham was promised, I'll give you a son. Abraham actually saw the son, who was Isaac. But yet the Bible says he did not receive the promise. Jacob was told, I'll give you children. He had 12 of them. Yet the Bible says, yeah, he did not receive the promise. How is it that he did not receive the promise? Now, when they were given these seeds, or when Abraham was given Isaac, it was the word of God given to him. But when he got Isaac, you could see that in Isaac was the promise. In Isaac was the was going to be the realization of the promise of God. And he did not take it for himself, but he put it over into his seed. Can you see? He did not receive it himself, though the promise was given to him. And it was that day when God said, I'm giving you this land and to your children. Can you see? So when they were given whatever promise they were given, they were looking to the fulfillment of that promise in their seed. Can you see? Now Abraham died without receiving the promise. Can you see? But he had that confidence. He had that joy. Like he said, they embraced them and confessed they were strangers. He could see it in Isaac. You know, like the tree, after it bears the fruit, when it sees the seed, it can rejoice before there's another tree, because it knows in this seed my life is going to continue. Amen. Even though I die, but in this seed is going to be the manifestation of who I was. Can you see? So Abraham rejoiced when he could see Isaac. And he knew this is not the fullness of the promise of God. Can you see? Because God had told him that you are going to have children that will cover all the earth. And then the Bible here says he looked for a city with foundations. That means he was looking for something that would stay. That was eternal. And the word of God is eternal. He was looking forward to the day you and me would come to this faith as children of Abraham in the faith. And because of that, he died, you know, a happy man. Knowing that even though I have not seen the fullness of it, but my fruit is evident that it is going to be. And he died in faith. Amen. And now, here it is said, if you can look in Hebrews, let's just go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 48, is it? Genesis chapter 48. We just want to read verse 8 and 9. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons which God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Verse 20 and 21. And he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." Now, after this, if you go to chapter 49, you see that Jacob now blesses his sons. After he blesses his sons, in verse 33 of chapter 49, Jacob dies. Can you see? But now, before Jacob died, he had seen in Joseph the reality of the promise of God. You see, Jacob could look at Reuben. Yes, he wants his seed. But you could see that Reuben was not stable. He says, "You are like water, you are not stable." He could see all the characteristics of his sons. But then he saw in Joseph something that was far greater than these other sons. Right. And he loved Joseph. Can you see? Now, when Joseph was said he was dead, the Bible says he cried for Joseph for many days. He says, "My gray hair will go down to the grave mourning my son." But now, after many years, he was called to Egypt. And there he was given this knowledge that his son was not dead, but was alive. Remember, when he was there at Bethel, lying there on that stone, God said, "I'll give you this land and your children." And he could see the continuity of God's word in Joseph. But Joseph was supposedly dead. But now he is given now the knowledge that his son is not dead. So he rushes to Egypt. When he sees Joseph, he does not see only Joseph. He sees his two sons. Can you see? And then he says, "Let the blessing of Abraham be upon them. Let the blessing of Isaac be upon them. Let my name be called in them." Because I thought I was not going to see Joseph. But I've seen not only Joseph, but his seed. So he, after he blessed them, then he felt, "Now I can die. There's no need for continuing. Because here is my seed. Here is proof that I will not die, but I will continue in them." Amen. Fulfilling the purpose of God in Genesis 1, be fruitful.
That's right.
Now, why being fruitful? Not just to bring a bunch of children into the world, but to bring the children of that original word, amen, the promise which God gave in the beginning.
Amen.
And Jacob could see that in these two sons. He could see that in Joseph. And then he was pleased. He says, "Now, there's no need for me to live. I can die in peace." Can you see? Now, so God is interested in the seed. Can you see? And every one called of God is not interested, you know, in just, coming to God, talking to God, you know, rejoicing in the Lord, and things like that. That was not the pleasure of these sages. They were watching the seed. They were interested in the seed. Because they knew the continuity of God's word was in that seed. That's what God blessed in the beginning. And every true child of God will have that vision. Will not be satisfied in all the things of the earth and then end there. You will be interested in the original word, which God gave in the beginning. Now, if we can see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 3, is it? Acts chapter 3, the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Am I there? Okay, we'll just read from verse 24 and verse 25. Acts chapter 3. Now, it says, ye and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as they have spoken, ye have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Now, you are the children of the prophets. Now, how were you born? And how did you become the children of the prophets? Because the word of God came to the prophets. As the seed was planted in Genesis chapter 1. And when God sent the prophets, he did not just like the life of the prophets to be holy and pure before him. The prophets were seed bearers. Right. And you are the manifestation of that seed.
Right.
So you are the children of the prophets. Now, because Abraham was a seed bearer, Isaac a seed bearer, Jacob a seed bearer, and all the 12 sons of Jacob were all seed bearers of the true manifestation of the word of God. Now, if we go back to the book of Hebrews, just bear with me, verse 34 of Hebrews chapter 11. That will take too long. Let's just read verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect.
Right.
Now all the sages, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samuel, Moses, all these prophets, they were the seed bearers. And Peter in the book of Acts says, you are the children of those prophets. Can you see? When David was called of God, he took the word of God in himself. That's why David could die peacefully. When he was about to die, he called his son, Solomon. He says, I can see you are a wise man. You know what these people did to me? You know what Shimei did to me? You know what his general Joab did to me? You know what Abiathar the priest did to me? You know all what they did, but I could not punish them. But you are wise men. I know you deal with them in the right way. And then he says, now, look at this nation Israel. I have established the boundaries of Israel. It was David who fought until all the boundaries of Israel were secured.
Right.
And he says, now, my son, you are ascending this throne. I had a desire in my heart to build a house for my God, but God told me I could not.
Right.
But now you are here. You can see all the desire of David that he could not do in his lifetime, he could see in Solomon.
Amen.
In his seed. That's why God in the beginning said, be fruitful. If you are not fruitful, how will you manage to see the purpose of God in your life? Can you see? So David was, you could say now, let me die now. At least now I know my thoughts, my intention, my purpose can be fulfilled in my seed. And then here Paul says, they did not receive the promises because God had provided a better thing for us, that without us they cannot be perfected. God could not say to the the tree, this is good. Until the tree has produced seed after its kind. So until we, the sons of the prophets, come, then all the life of the prophet cannot be perfected. Because God accepts David. Because David could see and say, I see. God will not let his Holy One see corruption. He could see the resurrection. He could see us. Like Paul says, now death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? We have victory over death. That's what David saw. But he himself, he died. But he died in hope because he could see me being resurrected. He could see me being raptured. Then he died in peace. So he could see the fulfillment of the word of God in us. So until we calm ourselves, then those cannot be perfected. Can you see? And we cannot come with the wishy-washy, you know, way of thinking and say, now we have come now, then the word can be fulfilled. No. It has got to be that original seed, which was in the beginning. How did David see it? You know, there are like people like, you know, the prophet says, Enoch represents the bride, is it? Because he was raptured without seeing death. And Enoch did not read anywhere in the Bible. He had no Bible, isn't it? He had nowhere to read. But he had faith. Now, what made Enoch to walk with God? It was not reading some words written. It was by faith. And Paul says the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. So it doesn't mean we are in a better position because we have got the books, we have got the spoken word, we have got the Bible, we have got the literature. We are not in a better position. We still must have that faith in the beginning. Like Enoch had. Can you see? It's not just because now I know this scripture, I know this one, I know this, so I am the bride. No, I must have that faith. Because David is waiting. All the sages are waiting for us to bring forth that which was planted in them. You know, because God never told Abraham that there is a city with foundation. He said, I'll give you a son. And Abraham was given that son. But why did he continue looking for another thing which God did not promise him? He had got the son. But by faith he could see, this is not it. But behind this mortal flesh of my son is the true son. Can you see? Behind this black and white words is the real thing.
Amen. That's right.
That's what God is calling us to. Now you can see now. Here it says now, without us, they cannot be perfected. So we are children of the prophets. Now, God said, let the tree bring forth fruit. But it did not happen overnight. In our country, we have got trees that grow in very arid regions, which take up to 15 years without producing fruit. But they'll still produce fruit. But some grasses only take 3 months, they've got their fruit. So when the grasses come after 3 months, they produce fruit, then God says, it is good. But that tree is still like that. God cannot say, because the grass is good, the tree is good. He'll wait for the tree to bring forth fruit. Even if it takes 10 years, he will wait. God has waited all these years from Adam up to this day until you say, now it is good. Then you rapture his church. He's in no hurry. He's waiting for the manifestation of the true seed that was in Enoch. Because that's what Genesis says. It is good. After the fruit has produced seed. After its kind. So now, we are. Now, so, when God says, let it bring forth. When God saw the fruit, that's when he says, it is good. Can you see? Now, so, the prophets, when prophecy is fulfilled, that's when God can say it is good. The prophecy of bringing forth seeds, when it's fulfilled in us, then God will say it is good. Not from interpretation of God's word.
Right.
Can you see? Because I can tell you, you know, when Peter said, repent and be baptized, I can explain to you what it means. You know, you have got to repent. When you did good, bad, or bad things like that, you've got to repent of those things. You know, when you repent of those things, then you come, the minister will baptize you. And then we will pray for you. You receive the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to explain to you what Peter said. Can you see? But that is not the thing. What Peter said must be manifested in you. Can you see? That's when prophecy is being fulfilled. Can you see? When God said, let there be, and there was, then that was the fulfillment of God's word. So is it with you and me. Let the grasses bring forth. You know, you must be fruitful. Amen.
Amen.
Now, and every true child of God, even the prophets themselves, they were not contented with anything short of the promise of God. I want you to see in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, I'll just read from this one. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and this steward of my house, and this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast not given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now, in short, Abraham was blessed by God. We know Abraham was called in chapter 12 and God blessed him. In chapter 13, he separated with Lot and God blessed him even more. In chapter 14, Lot was captured and Abraham followed those five kings. He went and overran them. He brought Lot back. And there he met Melchizedek,
right,
the priest, without beginning or end of life, who gave him bread and wine, and who blessed him. So here Abraham is blessed. He's given all these things. And then in chapter 15, after these things, after all the blessings of God, if you read in chapter 24 of Genesis, it says Abraham was blessed in everything. If whatever you want to think of. If it were today, you think of a car. You think of a house. You think of anything that you can think of that a man can be blessed. He was blessed in everything. But still he came back to God. When God himself had told him, fear not, I'm your reward. Then he says, how can you say that? I die childless. Your promise has not been manifested. When you called me, you did not tell me I'm going to give you cattle, give you car, give you this and that. You told me you're going to give me a seed. I'm not satisfied with a car. I'm not satisfied with servants. I'm not satisfied with a good job. Not even a good church. Where is your promise? You see, he questioned God. This Eliezer of Damascus is going to be my heir. He desired Genesis 1:11. Bring forth. He had a desire for that. And I hope we all have that desire. Amen.
Amen.
Because if you look in the Bible, even in the book of, if you read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, I think verse 14, it says houses and wealth is the inheritance of children from their fathers. Can you see? And also Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, a father does not look to his children to keep him. But it is the father who keeps the child. So to you, I'm like your father. I'm not desiring things from you, but rather you get things from me as your father. So, inheritance belongs to children. And Abraham was concerned with that. He desired seed for his inheritance. Can you see that? Now, that's why all the prophets were called of God to be righteous. Because they were looking forward to the manifestation of the word seed that was in them. Like Peter puts it, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 verse 10, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Here are the prophets of old. They knew, because of the Spirit of Christ which was in them, that they were holding, or they were bearing, or they were a basket which was carrying the true seed, and they desired the true manifestation of that seed of God, which was the Word. And it was even revealed to them that their holy life was not an end in itself, but it was God was holding life in them. Like Paul says, this glorious gospel is it was God who spoke to us. The same God who commanded that light out of darkness, He shined in us. And we are bringing forth this gospel. But it is not us. But God is working in this earthen vessel. The glory must not go to the vessel. But God is working in this earthen vessel to bring forth that gospel. So the prophets also knew that this what God has given us is not for this day. That's why Abraham could look at Isaac and say, truly it's not this day. Because when you took Isaac to that mountain to sacrifice him, he believed he could see by faith. Because the Bible says by faith he sacrificed Isaac. He was not only obeying, you know, simple obedience like you obey your manager. When he says, now fill this check, because you are his secretary, just fill the check. You are just obeying. Abraham did not obey that way. Not like you are a messenger. You are told, go and post these letters, and you go and post. That's not the obedience of Abraham. Because the Bible says, by faith, he obeyed. And faith is not something you see. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So Abraham did not obey God just like I would obey my father who tells me, go do this and I do it. Sweep the floor, I sweep. Clean the toilet, I clean. And then say, oh, this is an obedient son. We don't obey God that way. We obey by faith. Seeing not what is there, but what cannot be seen by this eye. That's why Abraham was called the father of us all. God told him, I'll give you a son. And God gave him the son. You know, what if God will tell me, James, I'm going to use you. You are going to be a preacher. Many people are going to see the word through you. And then they come there, I start to preach, and 15, 20, 30, 100 people, they come. And I'm pastor to 100 people. What will I say? God has confirmed this word to me. He told me I'll be a preacher. I'm a preacher. The fruit of my preaching. I'll be satisfied. Abraham was told, I'll give you a son, and the son was given. Like me, he should have said, God told me I'll give you a son, the son is given, it's over. But he did not do it. Because he had faith. Can you see? So faith is something that is not, you know, just there. Faith is the revelation that comes from God. Because after all, this Bible is a very hidden book. You cannot just understand it because you went to school. You cannot just understand it because somebody has preached or done that. After the preaching, God is going to come and give you the revelation of the word. Can you see?
That's the word. You know, in the days of Jeremiah, he was told to buy the land of his uncles, and he was told to write the title deed, and he was told to write two documents. One he had to put it in an earthen vessel, seal it, and the other one was an open document. Any Jack and Jill could come and see the document. Oh, the document! Here it is. Actually, what was meant here was this. Somebody, after cutting it, some words were rubbed. Then they were just, I think here, because this sentence is not complete, I think actually what they meant here was this. Can you see? They can say what they want to say upon this document. It's an open document. But there is another one which is sealed. Nobody can play around with that one. That one was to be opened when prophecy was fulfilled. That's what the Bible is. The Catholics can say, now, you know, actually what was meant was Jesus was the Son of Mary. So Mary being holy, that means she must pray for us to God. Where do they get it? From the open document. Can you see? Sure, at least Jesus himself, in himself, after he had risen from the dead, he had spoken this before death, who could have said maybe you are still, you know, the weaker side. But after he rose from the dead, he says, go and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Surely this is what he meant. This is an open document. Can you see? But it took Peter to go into the sealed document to bring out the name. Can you see? So the Bible is not that open. Even when the prophet came, you know, he did not come to open this Bible so that anybody, because he has gone to school, he can take a spoken word book and read and take the Bible and read and think we can get revelation out of that. No ways. Jesus was the fullness of the prophets. Is that right? But did they understand? When they looked at him, they say, he is John. How can he be John? Can you see? Some thought he's a carpenter. Some thought he's a provider of bread, because when he gave them bread that day, to the next day they came again. Where have you been? We were looking for you all over. Oh, you were looking for me? Not because you saw the sign, but because you ate bread. Can you see? They could not see the reality, the purpose of what Jesus was doing. So the Bible is not all that open. It needs the faith. Like these prophets, they knew after they had lived, they had done all that they had done. They still had that desire of the real thing, the true seed. Be ye fruitful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, every tree, you know, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. And every tree will be judged not after its leaves. Not after its roots. You can come to the tree and say, now look at the roots. How glorious they are. They are so deep. I don't care how deep they are. You can look at the branches. Oh, they are just covering all the area. I don't care how the branches are covering. Oh, how good are the leaves. That doesn't matter. The fruit. Can you see? So a tree is judged good or bad by the fruit. Can you see? And now for the tree to bring forth good fruit, it also depends where it's planted. Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the evil one. He is like a tree planted. Not that he has grown, but that which has been planted. Somebody came and planted it. It did not grow on its own. It was planted by the rivers of water. Can you see? And then, because it is planted, it is going to follow a particular way. That's why it says, Jesus says, I mean, is it Paul? He says, be angry, but let not the sun go down on your wrath. Can you see? You are a man. You are a person. You can be wronged. Can you see? We are all subject to that. But Paul says, he doesn't say, now, don't be angry. No, he gives you the permission. Be angry. Can you see? But there's a condition. Don't let the sun go down. Don't keep in you an atmosphere which is conducive to evil. Can you see? You can be angry. But you know, it's like the tree
You know, the tree, Jesus says, a corrupt tree will bring forth corrupt fruit. Is that right? And a good tree will bring forth good fruit. So, don't let yourself be in a position where, you know, you will be messed up. Even though things are not right, you lose your job, don't let the sun go down on your road. Can you see? All the things, they come in our life. You know, like you people, you know, I very feel sorry for you, because you are, you know, God has blessed this country. You have almost everything. You see, until if somebody drops a piece of paper in front of your door, you can sue him in court. You're in Africa, it's not like that. You know, things are hard and they're tough, and you know, we are built to stand pressure. You see, so, you know, there are things, you know, which you may think, you know, you are being wrong, but with us, we see nothing. Can you see? But now, keep yourselves in a way, you know, that will not be conducive to evil. You know, you have fish, eh? If you put a fish in a wooden bowl and it starts to rot, if you leave that fish there, the rotten water from the fish will penetrate the bowl. And then you take the bowl now, clean it with water. It will smell. Take soap, clean it. It will still smell. But it has penetrated. So don't let evil stay too long in you. It will penetrate. Can you see? And it will spoil your fruit. Can you see that? So, Paul says, don't let the sun go down. Now, the purpose of all this, you see, when we read in Peter, it says, when the gospel was preached to you, it was supposed to manifest that which the prophets desired. And the angels are looking. Can you see? They desire to look upon that. When the angels heard God promise Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, you know, the angels are anxiously looking for that. Then they saw Ishmael being born. The angels looked. They could not see the purpose of God in Ishmael. See, what's happening here? Can you see? Then they see Isaac coming. But Isaac, death comes on him. You know, the purpose of God is not for him to die. What's happening here? Jacob comes, he dies. Joseph comes, he dies. Angels are still looking. Can you see?
Right.
Angels, they received the word of God, which was promised even for our age. And they are desiring to see the day when that fulfillment of the sin which was in the beginning can be manifested in you. Can you see? When Martin Luther came out, the angel started to clap hands and said, it's now coming. It's now coming. Then those who followed Luther, what did they do? They denominated again. Then the angel said, now, what's happened? Wesley comes. They could see now, here is the thing now. After a time, it goes. Then Pentecost came. Oh, it was fire. The angels were beholding. But what did they see again? It fell off. Then when the angel saw the prophet, he brings a message. He says, this is going to be it. What is happening again today? Can you see? But thank God, there is a seed. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. After its kind. God is going to see to it that thing will come. Amen. So, God can only reward us when we bring forth fruit. You know, Jesus Christ, if you read, if you are putting down your notes, you can write down Isaiah 53. It says, Jesus is not going to be rewarded because he did good. Only that. But he is going to be rewarded because of the fruit of his travailing, the fruit of his suffering. That's why he says he is going to be given the spoil among the great. Can you see? We are the fruit of the travailing of Christ. We are the manifestation of the suffering of Christ.
Can you see?
So, when Christ is going to be given his crown, it's going to be because of the fruit
of his suffering.
Not only his suffering, but the fruit of his suffering. Can you see? You can suffer and not bring forth fruit. Can you see that? You know, we are suffering there in Africa. But God is not going to reward us because we are drought there. And we have got wars there. Can you see? We are not going to get reward for that. You can suffer and suffer in vain. You can worship and worship in vain. Your worship, your belief, your faith must produce the fruits of the word. Then God will reward you. Can you see? Christ, sure, he suffered on the cross. But him dying on the cross is nothing unless it produces a seed or children or Christians or born again people. That's when it will mean anything. Can you see? So we are the fruit of that suffering. So Christ will not be rewarded for suffering. He will be rewarded for the fruit of his suffering. Can you see? And God is not interested because he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because Paul says, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, faith. Can you see? God is interested in the fruit of the Spirit. Not only the Spirit. Because the Spirit was there for a purpose. As much as he was not interested in just the tree, but the fruit of the tree, so is he interested not only in the Holy Ghost baptism upon you, but the fruit of that Spirit. Because the Spirit was given to you for a purpose. That's why Paul tells the Colossians in chapter 1, he says, after we heard of your faith, we are praying to God that you may abound in the fruits of good works. God does not want you to do good works, but you must have fruits of good works. Before a work is done, that work must be in you spiritually. Can you see? That's why John told the Pharisees, he said, why are you coming? Who told you to come? You see, but how could John ask the Pharisees who told you to come, yet he was wallowing in the woods and say, come, I'll baptize you. Come. Then they come. Then, you know, the brother told me that we are going to have a meeting here. So when I came, I was expecting you all. How could then I say, who told you to come? Yes. Okay. So why was John asking them? He could see in them, if God had called you to come, you could have brought fruits of the word that called you. God is not calling you to come, he's calling you to repentance. So the fruit of repentance must be in you. If God really called you. Can you see? So God is looking to us not to have the Spirit. That's why Paul says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Because you can even have the Holy Ghost and grieve it away. And you'll be barren without any fruit. Can you see? So it's not just being having the Holy Ghost, but the fruit of the Holy Ghost. You need patience. Not by interpretation. Can you see? You need long suffering. Not by interpretation. You see? You need faith. Not by the dictionary explanation of faith. But by the manifestation of the life of faith in you. That is the fruit. That's what God is desiring. Not the explanation. Not the definition. But the fruit of that Holy Spirit which God gave you. Can you see? That's why in Isaiah chapter 5 he says, what is it that I did not do to this field of mine? I took off the root of the rocks. I built a fence around. I put there a wine press. I planted goodly vines. But when I came to find grapes, they were wild. What did I not do to this field of mine that I should have done? If God gave you the Spirit, he's not looking for you to, you know, go back to the calendar as we are going to celebrate our National Day on Monday, is it? Because some 20 or 40 years ago, you got your independence, eh? So you are going to celebrate that. And then you think you can celebrate every year the day you receive the Holy Ghost. That's not it. It's the fruit of the Holy Ghost that you received that day. That's what you should be expecting in yourself. Not just because I was baptized. Not just because I'm a preacher. Not just because I'm here. But is the fruit of the Spirit upon me and in me. In closing, let's just read this verse. I'm sorry I've taken more time than I was allotted. But let's just close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thessalonians chapter 4. We just want to read verse 1, I think. Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. That's the commission of Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Let every species bring forth. Multiply and replenish the earth. So Paul says, as much as you have heard from us, we desire from you that you may expound, that you may grow from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. So the commission of Genesis 1, be ye fruitful. Be fruitful in all the works of the Spirit. Be fruitful. You know, if you repented that day when you were smoking, drinking, and doing all those things, when you repented that day, you were only bearing a seed of repentance. Can you see that? Why? Because God knew somewhere along the line you would be disturbed, or you may be stumbled and you fall. But because there's a seed of repentance in you, it was not just an act of repentance. It was a seed of repentance. Can you see? You know, the true repentance is not when you first come to the Lord. You get the point? Now, if a drunkard would walk through that door, smoking, yeah, with his beer, drinking, you know, the deacons will try to help him. No, 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 sir. Can we help you? He says, now, how can you help me? I have come to church. The deacons will try to help him, take off the bottle, put it aside, take the cigarette, put it aside. Now, sit down here and listen to the word. And then if that drunkard man, after the end of the service, would fall down here and say, I want to give my life to God, we'll all rejoice. Isn't that right? It's very easy for a drunkard to come here and repent than it is for me after I have preached here, and then tomorrow I'll come here and say, now, brothers and sisters, I want the Lord to have mercy on me because I've done this and this which is wrong. Can you see? It's very difficult. It's easier for the drunkard. It was easier for me the first day I came to the Lord to repent than it is for me today now. Can you see? But for me to repent today now, it means the fruit of repentance. The true sin which was planted on that first day. Can you see? That's why David could come to God and repent. It was easy for David the first day to repent. But when he sinned with Bathsheba that day, it was hard now. Because he was king. He had authority. He had power. You know, he was leading Israel to God. And then he does such a thing. That's when we can see now David was a man after God's own heart. He could humble himself after all that glory and say, sorry, I'm wrong. Can you see? That's the fruit of Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Can you see that? And God is desiring that in us. Not only one fruit, but we should have more and more. Can you see that? You remember the talents? It was given to, when the master came, he wanted more. Can you see? What about the one who kept the original one? He says, for you to know that I'm truthful and faithful. Even if you put a mark on that coin you gave me, here it is. Exactly what you gave me.
there.
I kept it clean.
But God, I mean, the master gave him for it to be fruitful. Don't just have that life which you had when you came to the Lord. Can you see? Don't just have that spirit of repentance which you had when you came to the Lord. That spirit must grow. Can you see? That faith must grow. That patience must grow. That love must grow. Can you see? That truthfulness must grow. Everything must grow in you. And then you can be accepted. Then God can stand now on his word and say now Genesis 1:11 is being fulfilled. Then Genesis 1:12 will be accomplished when God will say, this is good. Can you see? This is what I had in my mind. This is what I thought when I said, let there be. When God told Malachi, there's going to be a bride whose hearts are going to be turned back to the faith of the fathers. The faith of David, who could look into wrong and say, I'm wrong. Can you see? The faith of Peter, who could say, Lord, I'm wrong. And, you know, Peter was, you know, he was not a soft man. You know, they were fighting for those fishing grounds, you know. Because that's why he took no time in cutting off that man's ear. He was a tough man. But when he saw that he was wrong, the Bible says he went and wept. Can you see? That's the faith we are being turned back to. And when God feels that in us, then you say, this is good. Then the rapture will go. God bless you.